Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. James had never been away from home this long before. Growing up, his parents allowed him to take trips and to go to summer camp for a few weeks. But this was a whole new ball of wax. 5 weeks into his first year of college, James was starting to feel homesick. School was a six-hour drive away from where his parents and siblings lived. Not to mention the fact that this school was gigantic, way bigger than the high school he attended. It was easy to feel like just another face in the crowd, to feel invisible, like no one knew him. James felt alone. There were, of course, a few people that he knew. He had his roommate and a few other guys on his floor. But James didn't know that many names at school. And to be completely honest, not that many people knew his name either. This wasn't the only change that was circling in his mind. He knew that he had to get a degree, but he wasn't sure what he wanted to get the degree in. Those questions kept on coming and coming. James, what are you going to do with your life? And he still didn't have answers. And those questions led to even bigger questions for him. Questions like, who actually am I? The guys that did know James, the ones that lived on his floor, they thought it best to let him know who they thought he was. To them, James was Mr. Goody Two-Shoes, the church kid, because he didn't prefer to go and party on a Saturday night with church the next morning, because he actually believed what was written in that old book. For James, the questions kept coming, circling in his mind as all he could hear, alone in his room on a Saturday night, were those voices, all coming together, leading to a string of doubts and questions. As he sat there, he wondered to himself, what am I doing all of this for anyway? I mean, come on, isn't my faith getting in the way of me making friends and meeting people? Wasn't I just doing this for my mom and dad anyway? I mean, let's be honest, I'm never going to be as committed to this as they have been. What's the point? There in that room, James' phone lights up. It's a call from his dad, so he decides to answer it. The two talk for a few minutes and catch up. Dad wants to know how class is going and if James has met anyone. But then there's a break in the conversation. And James' dad asks him, James, how are you doing actually? He fumbles through his words, nervously explaining it all to his dad. Exactly how he feels, confused, alone, and full of doubts. He even explains those doubts about his faith. He ends with one last thought for his dad. Dad, I know when you send me away and I'm away from home, you always remind me to remember whose son I am. And I feel like I haven't acted like that. And for that, I'm sorry. I know I've let you down. But without missing a beat, his dad responds, James, I certainly want you to remember that. It is a good thing to keep in mind. But there's something else I want you to remember that's even more important. Here's what your God says, the one who created you and formed you. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. James, I may be your dad, and I care for you and know you better than almost anyone else in the world. But consider this. The God in heaven who created all things, who formed the world by his word, who placed the stars in the heavens and made everything that you see great and small, is the same one who carefully fashioned and made you and gave you those special gifts and abilities that you have, even if you're not sure how to use them yet. But it's better than that. Because when you feel alone and question who you are, when you think that no one knows you, you have a God who knows exactly who you are. Not just who you are, but he knows you by name. And he calls you by name because you are his. And when you struggle or question or wrestle or doubt, you have a God whose commitment to you is greater than those fears. So great, in fact, that he gave up his son for you to redeem you from your sin, to buy you back and make you his. You are his. With just that phone call that night, God was in the room there with James. In another room sits Judy. She's been sitting in this same room for a long time. There are two places you might find her, either in the bed or on the couch nearby. For the last 3 years, Judy has been homebound because of her health. Family visits occasionally to drop off a meal or give some visits, but it's a lot of time alone, a lot of time with her thoughts. Too much time with her thoughts. Junie knows that the days that lie ahead of her are far fewer than the days of the past. But even as she sits and reminisces, the thoughts aren't always happy. She looks back and sees losses, a spouse, friends. She even looks back and has doubts about her life of faith. For many years, Judy considered herself spiritual, not religious, disengaged, disinterested, and frankly, in her mind, too busy to go to church. Then she heard the word of God, and the gospel changed her life, freeing her from those doubts and fears. But that had been years ago. Now it's been more than 3 years since Judy has seen the inside of church. And alone in that room, she hears another voice, a voice that sounds like an accuser, one who won't stop throwing accusations at her, a voice that sounds like this: Judy, if you were actually a Christian, why did you waste all of those years away from church? You can't make up for all of that lost time now. Judy, if you actually loved your God, then why are those sins of the past still on your mind? You can't forget them. Like what you said to your daughter that made her stop talking to you for almost a year? Or how when you did join a church, you said you wouldn't fall into that one sin anymore, but then you kept struggling with it again and again. You can't actually call yourself a Christian, can you? These sins and doubts on her mind, Judy feels like in this room there's water rising all around her, up to the level of her neck. And as she worries and is filled with fear, she just wants to cry out to God, God, how do I know if I've done enough? God, how do I know if I've believed strong enough? There's a gentle knock at the door, and a familiar face peeks around the doorframe. It's Pastor, with his Bible in one hand and communion kit in the other, there to visit this homebound member. The two sit down and start conversation. Judy wants to know all about Pastor's life and how church is going, mostly so she doesn't have to share what she's feeling in the room in that moment. The two open to Scripture, and Pastor says to Judy, here is what your God says. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." Tears start to well up in Judy's eyes, spilling over into words, as she explains to Pastor exactly how she feels. Every fear, doubt, and worry. That she'll never be enough for God. Her lack of commitment in the past. And that she feels alone. A soft smile reaches Pastor's eyes as he reads these words from Scripture again to Judy. And he says to her, "Judy, no matter how overwhelmed you might feel by your sins of the past, those things will not overwhelm you completely. God has you. He has marked you as his child and promised to be with you since the very beginning, when he brought you to him through another water, when he marked you as his dear child in baptism. I can't promise you that tears won't still flow when you look back to the sins of the past, but I can promise you that God will be with you in those moments of tears, and that he promises to wipe away every tear from your eyes in heaven. And I can't promise that you won't feel the heat, the pressures of this world, and temptations all around you, but I can promise you that those things will not overwhelm you either, because your God has shown his commitment to you in Christ, the one who walked towards greater fire and flame and pain than you will ever see in this life or the life to come, who has saved you from all of these things." The two of them pray together. And for Judy, it feels like the waters recede. She feels relieved. There in that room that day, God was with Judy. In another room, Laura is struggling to get out of bed. It's 10:30 a.m. on a Tuesday. Normally, she would have been out of bed for a few hours by now, but not these days. Now there's nothing. For Laura, for many years, she would have been at work at this point, but she's been laid off from her job along with countless others. Her job is where she found her value. Her accomplishments there really gave her purpose, and she thought she was going places. Her job even seemed like a good place, a place where they were making a difference in the world. She saw all the time she was filling as a good thing, even though it sometimes got in the way of family and getting to church. Laura wondered if people at church still remembered who she was. She certainly didn't feel like she was worth remembering. As she brushes her teeth, she wipes the fogged glass and catches a glimpse of the one person she's hoping not to see. Herself. There in that mirror, she sees a person who has no value. A person that she thinks is nothing but a failure. Later on, Laura sits down at a coffee shop. And a few minutes later, her friend Jess sits down in the seat across from her, wanting to know how Laura's doing. The two chat for a few minutes, and Jess shares about her life, her family, and church. But then conversation shifts to Laura. Over still full cups of coffee, Laura shares exactly what's been on her mind. How she feels she has no value. How she sees herself as worthless. And she ends with one last thought that's more sad than all the others together. She says, "Jess, I understand why you go to church and what you say about your God, but I don't understand it for me. I mean, how can God love me if I can't even love myself? How can God love me if I can never commit to being a perfect Christian or even a good person?" Jess takes a deep breath and responds, "Laura, I understand what you're saying. I know what you're explaining to me, and I've felt it before too. That inadequacy, that fear. I want you to know this, that even the Christian that looks like the most committed and perfect and finished project still has sin, still has inadequacies. They cannot be God. They can't be perfect on their own. But when you hear that voice of yourself, I want you to hear another voice along with it. Here's what your God says. Jess reads to her these words from Isaiah 43. And one line sticks out in her mind more than all the others. You are precious and honored in my sight because I love you. Jess continues, Laura, I will continue to see you and bring you encouragement and comfort. But look how much more value is found in these words of your God. A God who says that he loves you. And I will continue to tell you what I see in you, the value I see. But see what God sees, how he sees you as one who is precious and honored. You see yourselves through your eyes, but that's not how your God sees you. He sees you through his eyes, and in his eyes, you are the most precious thing in the world, worth so much to him that he was willing to give his most valued possession in his son in exchange for you. And God sees you as him. God is committed to loving you because your value is found in Christ. There in that room that day, God was present with them. In another room sit God's people, gathered together to hear his word, each coming with their own set of fears, inadequacies, and worries, each coming with their guilt from the past in ways where they've seen their lack of commitment toward God, each with the words of the devil, the world, or their own flesh screaming in their ears. But a voice rings louder than all of that combined in the words of our God. Hear what God says to you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. To Israelites carried off in captivity thousands of years ago, to you, years from now, this promise of God still rings true. He has proven it to you in his Son, in what he willingly endured for you. Not the river, nor the flame, nor the greatest fear can take this away from you. Because while you might not feel it when you feel alone, or know it when you see those fears and inadequacies, this commitment from your God has always been true, that he has been there with you all along. Amen.